You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to Diablo's Den. The Corona Chronicles continue with episode number 8. I'm here with your host, the one, the only, Lord Isaac, Danny Diablo!
That's me, y'all. What's up, everybody? What's up, Jay? How you doing, brother?
Yo, how are you doing? You've had a little break in between here. I know you've been busy, man. What's been happening? Dude, it's good to see you.
Oh,
everybody's
man,
still alive. Corona virus.
It's the George Floyd, rest in peace.
Shout out.
Coronavirus. The United States is fucking crazy.
Is the world ending-y?
You know what? I don't even know what to say because I go on the internet and you know I do my Instagram. I don't really give a fuck about Facebook or this.
Nobody here, Twitter here, man.
But the thing that really is crazy, like everyone's acting crazy. All these people, you know, this is a world that we can say what we want to say. It's a freedom of speech. That's why people are like, fuck you. Like, listen, freedom of speech, you can say what you want to say. You know what I mean? No, the certain words you can't say.
Yep.
And like, you come up to me and call me a spit nigger, Jew fuck. I know I can't hit you because if I hit you, these words are words. If I hit you, I'm in the wrong.
Right.
But I'm going to hit you if you say that. Just saying the certain things. Fuck you, shoot me. I belong to something that I will get bail money in 2 seconds and lawyer money.
Yeah.
Because I'm a brotherhood, so I don't give a fuck. But people have to understand that if you say something in this world, you can say something. Anyway, try saying to a cop in Brazil, go fuck yourself, bitch, motherfucker. Yo, cop is going to shoot you in the fucking face. Do that in any Arab country, you get killed. You know
what I mean?
It's like, this is America. It's cool. These cops are assholes. I understand. They're all a whole bunch of fucking bad cops and racist cops. And it shouldn't be like, it should not, kids, because of color, should not be scared. You know, you're going to get killed because and this world has to change. This United States has to change. But, you know, not all cops are bad, bro. You know what I mean? So if you see a cop doing a job, don't be calling the cop an asshole or something. You know what I mean? Like, there's cops out there who are good and there's, like, good people and bad people. It's just crazy. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know what to do. You know, Black Lives Matter. You know,
yeah, Black Lives Matter.
I believe all this shit. Like, you know, some people, you know, people are racist out there, but it's like, like,
yo, the
be
internet,
smart about it.
Well, and it's crazy, too, because, like, yo, the internet has made it more comfortable, right, for people to
it's so fucking crazy.
Yo, it's funny, because, it's almost like people forget that at some point, everyone's going to run into each other again, you know what I'm saying?
I live my life a certain way, in a certain codes, and I got a different lifestyle than
most
people. You know what I mean? So I understand. I'm a street kid. And I'm a street person. But my girl just went to a vigil yesterday for the kid Elijah, the kid from
that's
Colorado.
So
like,
sad.
Killed,
yeah.
Poor
so
kid.
Sad,
the
man.
Poor kid.
He used to play violins for the cats.
Violin,
and shit. Yeah.
My girl went yesterday. Girl, I'm gonna tell you how good she was. The night before, me and her did a whole bunch of acid, and she was like, I got it. She was crying. I was like, oh, man, you got to go. And she went. She went the next day. She's like, God, I was like, yo, that's fucking cool.
That
like,
is cool.
Like, that poor little boy died.
So sad.
And they shot him up with Special K.
Special K, yeah.
What the fuck is wrong? Yo, listen, it's a whole world. It's like, when I see that, my heart breaks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very sad, man. It's like, it's a really fucking crazy time, but you know what, man, at least I hope that people can enjoy and find some escape in our show, so I'm excited to give people an outlet for that.
My thing is this, like people destroying shit and all that. I was like, what the fuck, what to do? Like, it's like everyone has every politician, every fucking public figure has a fucking bad side to them that we don't know about.
Right.
Everyone has a dark secret. Like, you know, if this guy did this, well, this guy did, it's like, stop it.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, like, what are we supposed to do?
Everybody's become kind of like a tattletaler, like a snitch
like,
kind of type shit.
You know what? I'm Jewish, right? I want Egypt to take down the fucking Sphinx and all the fucking pyramids. The Jews were slaves when they did it, all right?
Yeah.
It's like, come on, take the money. Give me your money, everybody. Send your money into me. I'm going to throw it away for you. All those presidents had slaves, right? But it's like, you know, the countries are built upon war and taking over horrible stuff. Every country is built on horrible fucking blood and fucking disgusting stuff. It's for us to be better and get past that and understand. It's like, all I know is like, you know, my mom's Puerto Rican and black. You mean so? It's like I'm mixed and you know I fuck that racist shit, bro. But yeah, understand. It's like people are people, and I know the nature of the beast. You mean? So I stay away from. So if I don't go to that part of town and there'll be a whole bunch of rednecks, I'm staying away from them, bro. You mean?
Yeah.
It's there's a certain knowledge. It's like don't. No, I can't say my girl gets mad. I can dress the way I want to dress. I said, bitch, you go jog Central Park after fucking 10 o'clock and see what happens. wear your fucking little boom boom shorts. You're, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying, oh, you ass for it, but yo, chill the fuck out. Don't jog in fucking Central Park, you know? It's like simple shit that I've learned to live through life. And people say, yo, shouldn't be like that, but it is like that. You know?
Yep.
I get pulled over. But cops, I'm like, why did they pull me over for? They're looking for
me. They want your autograph. They're Scarhead fans.
No, this is so crazy. But I want everyone to get along. I want everyone to understand that everyone should respect each other. You know, respect. You know, if you don't like that guy's job or whatever, just respect him. You know what I mean? Like,
I'll say this, man. One of the things I'm the most grateful about in the hardcore community and the scene, man, is how much exposure you get to people of all different kinds of every walk of life, man. Imagine the people you interact with on a, you know, you go to a show on a Sunday, you're hanging with like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like it's crazy. And that's the one thing I feel like has made me so empathetic towards everything. You know what I mean? Growing up and seeing, you know, meeting everybody and touring the world and
yeah, just touring,
you
know, the world.
Just touring the world and seeing how shit ain't everything like what you see it is. You know what I mean? So it's gotta,
we have it good, bro. United States. I look at the internet and sometimes there's these people like canceling people because this or they stop the bullshit, bro. Yo, no one's canceling me. I will fuck everyone up. I will fuck, yo, listen, you cancel me, I'll find shit on all
you. You're in syndication for life, man. Fuck that.
Yo, yeah. I would destroy. I would have shit on everyone, bro. But I'm saying this. It's like you gotta fucking just, you know, live for your family and your kids. Just make. We gotta make this world a better place for the future, future yeah. generation. Totally, you know, and I make jokes and stuff like that, but you know, life is precious. You mean?
Yep.
And we have to understand that. It's much better to be cool with someone and hug someone than fucking fight someone and fight a war with someone. That's it, man. That's all.
So, E, let's kick off the show. We wanted to give a quick shout out though, first.
So shout out, I want to say rest in peace to Julia Guerra, Hoya from Mambo's mother. Yep. She passed away. Hoya came down with his son, his dad, his brother to Queens where we grew up, Corona, Jackson Heights, Corona, Queens. We had the ceremony. It was, I just want to say thank you for everyone coming down. I love you, Hoya. I was in my own neighborhood walking around and just like, we couldn't even like.
Just remembering.
Stay inside the fucking the thing because, you know, the COVID stuff. So,
yep.
But the world just crazy. I just saw Hoya and I just want to tell Hoya I love you. And
yeah,
Julia,
I love you, Hoya.
I miss you. I love you. I mean, so yep. That's it. Shout out to Dave, everyone. Everyone came down. Thank you. Also, happy birthday to FC.
Awesome. Happy birthday.
FC. And also, see this thing right here? Check this out.
So what's that? Is that? That's a Godzilla toy?
It's a leash. Someone made me out like just made this thing, and the guy sent it from Godzilla. It's crazy. It's green and yellow.
Yo, it's awesome. It looks like a snake almost.
Yeah. So he said his name is Ropes by Root. That's the name of the company. Ropes by Root, and his name is Joe. Joe.
That's dope. Shout out Joe.
Shout out to Calgary, Canada.
Dope. That's dope.
Shout out to AK Ray. Psycho Dave from Northern Hit Squad, right?
Sick.
Other crazy Canadians.
So, E, what have you been watching or listening to anything the past couple weeks? I mean, yo, the last episode was fucking awesome. I just want to once again thank our brother Tave for hooking up the Ben Weinman Dillinger episode. We got so much great feedback. That was a really good episode. Ben was a great guest, and he shared a lot of good stories with us. So
Tavi was here yesterday, banged out. Banged out.
I love it, man. What have you been? What are you been listening to? Anything? Rocking? Watching? What do you?
I've been watching Lilyhammer.
That was the guy from Sopranos. Was it the guy from Sopranos?
Yes. It's Little Steven. Yeah.
Is it good?
Oh, fucking amazing! One of the best. Fuck yo, Jay. Smoke weed. Me and my girl. he monster. Goes to Brooklyn. Leaves Brooklyn. Goes to Lilyhammer, Norway. It's the most craziest shit in the world. It's hilarious, but it's funny. It's also a lot of violence, a lot of funny shit. It's very funny. So dark.
Yeah. That's dope. Yeah.
Lilyhammer.
What about anything? You've been listening to anything or?
You know what? Listen to, you know what's crazy? I've been listening to a lot of Stitches.
You said that last time too.
Yeah, I did. I've been listening to Stitches.
You've been busy. You've been banging out a lot of those canvases, right? Like crazy.
The canvases. I've been killing the canvases. But I did a photo shoot.
I'm going to show.
Two weeks ago. And my girl, Storm, Alexandra Rose, Storm, took the photos.
Yeah, they look sick.
And she killed it. And so we sent it to the, to the record company guy, because he's a tattoo, Kevin from Devil Rats Records. He's a tattoo artist, also he's an artist, and what he's doing, he needed shots as a reference. We were doing me, Joe Fado, and Big Leo as the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Oh, like, sick, that's
the,
awesome.
The poster for the movie. So
that's
so
fucking awesome.
Joe Fado's Clint Eastwood, I'm the Bad, and fucking Big Leo's the Ugly.
Yeah,
so
we premiered a song at the end of the episode last time.
Yes.
And people were
We should do another one.
All right. If you want to share it, so then, guys, you heard it here. He wants to share another song with you. So at the end of this episode, stay tuned.
The one I'm going to share with you guys is a dope song. Don't worry.
I'm going to plug it in right here. I watched this movie called Wasp Network on Netflix. You've heard of this?
No. Tell me what
that's like. You know, shout out to my Cuban people, right? Of course. So it's like Cuban spies, they infiltrate exile groups in the 90s. Yo, that shit is dope, dude. So I recommend that you and Storm should watch this on Netflix new.
Happy birthday, Roger Moran.
Oh, yeah. Shout out, Robert. Today is his birthday.
Happy birthday, Roger.
So the day that we're recording this is Roger's birthday. So shout out to that. So you should check that movie out. You and Storm would really dig it. It's got my boy Stephen Bauer in it. Shout out my dad.
Manolo.
And then I just want to shout out to my boy Jeff Eaton from Modern Life is War. He's working on a new project. It's like a dub and bass thing that he let me hear a couple tracks. I'm going to share those with you offline. This shit is so fucking dope. He's going to be coming over into New York next month to do some recording and some video stuff, and you and I are going to do some stuff with him there, and it's super sick.
Yeah, definitely.
And Modern Life is War has got a new single coming out next month, so I want to plug those. And I just want to, I've been plugging my new zine. So I did this.
Wait, what happened?
I did a zine.
That's only the strong victory.
So,
right?
Yo, check this out. So for those who don't know, my band Voice of Reason was on this comp. Like, I don't have enough things going on between the podcast and the labels and all this other shit. During quarantine, I did a zine on the comp.
Oh.
And I did new interviews with yours truly. I interviewed myself in a way. But I got new interviews with Buried Alive, Death Threat, Hoods, Inhuman, In Truth, Kill Your Idols, and Built to Last. Yo, I sent out 200 of these for free. So, for the kids. Check it out. It was a full color, 12 page, professionally done.
Whoa!
I got a copy for you.
Where can they get it?
It's all gone. So basically, what I did was I did it where you signed up. I want to do one with you. Or maybe issue two. We do an exact zine, But basically, man, it was just my way to give back to the scene. You know, dude, it was a cool way. I wanted to do something cool, so I printed up 200 of those, sent them out to everybody for free, and man, the response has been dope. So I've just been doing that and, you know, making the most the most of the time of just being home and creative and fucking trying to get shit done, man. So I got a copy for you. I got to send you that.
Thank you so much.
We got a good show for you today.
Yes.
We got two guests from total opposites, but it's going to be really
cool. Total opposite scenes and everything, right?
Yeah, so the first one is a new school rapper. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that while we bring him in?
Well, check this out. I basically I became friends with DJ Clay, you know, from the Juggalo scene from Detroit, who worked with ICP, was their DJ, worked with a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, we had DJ on a couple episodes back.
Great guy. A dope beat maker, dope producer. Basically, he has an artist from his label. His name is Jason the Sing God.
Yep. So we're going to have
the
Jason.
The kid is dope. So let's get him on.
Yep. Let's get him on right now. And we're back with Corona Chronicles episode 8. We have our first guest of the night. Everybody welcome Jason the Sing God.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Jason?
What's hanging, man? How's it going?
Shit's going good, man. Everything's good. I hope all's well with you guys.
Man, we're doing good, man. Where are you during this whole quarantine shit? Where are you set up at right now? Where are you holding it down?
Shit, I'm in Southwest Detroit right now.
Awesome.
Oh, cool. Yo, are you from Alabama?
Yeah, I grew up there. I was actually born in Elmhurst. I grew up in a trailer park right outside Chicago called Merrow's Park. Or I didn't grow up there, but I was there for my first 10 years of my life. And then I ended up moving to Alabama, basically as punishment, because I was getting in hella trouble in school. My mom was like, "She's like, you get kicked out of this last motherfucking school in the district, you're going down south with your grandma." I thought it was jokes, but she sent my motherfucking ass down there quick.
How's Alabama? How's Alabama?
It was definitely punishment, I'll tell you that.
So Jason... Tell us, that's an interesting path, man. So you end up in Alabama. How do you end up from that into rapping? Tell us that little connection right there, because that's a kind of, it seems like you already had a little path going there with just being in trouble in school and shit. I always feel like me and E talked
already,
a lot about
already
this.
On the wrong path.
Yeah, already on the wrong path, headed towards music, as me and Ezek would say.
Man, bro, I was like the only white kid basically everywhere I went, and I basically got picked on a little bit, so I just had to learn how to defend myself. And once I realized that when you wild the fuck out, people either kind of chill the fuck out and are scared of you, or they respect you. And once I learned that, even at a young age, I was just going hard as fuck. Like, you couldn't tell me shit after that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I went from being nervous and stressed out about the confrontations that I had to face daily to being like, fuck this shit, I'll have a conflict with anybody, the police, the teacher, everybody can suck my dick. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, set
and
it off.
The way I got so involved with hip-hop is because my dad was a DJ, and I always thought it was cool shit how
That's
he had,
dope.
Like, hella fucking hip-hop records and tapes and shit. And when my mom and him split, and I ended up going to Alabama, I ended up with some of his shit, and I was already into it anyways before I went to Alabama, and I was already writing, like, little rhymes and shit. I just thought that shit was cool as fuck, man, that my dad did the hip-hop thing. And when I went to Bama, there wasn't anything else to do, and nobody was interested in what I was interested in. And I was just, like, trying to figure that shit out, man. I just got better and better and better with it. You know, they say it takes 10,000 hours of anything to become a master. So yep. I think I definitely mastered it.
That's sick, man. So, Jason, you're actually, too, for those that don't know, a couple episodes back, we had DJ Clay on, who you're on his label.
Yeah, right.
How did you and Clay connect? Tell us that. How did that come together, you being out there and connecting with Clay?
So in late 2017, I decided, you know, I've done basically everything I can do in Alabama when it comes to trying to be a rapper or start a career. Yeah. And I made some connections on the internet, moved to Oakland, California, and lived out there for a year. I left Oakland, and by the time I left, after spending that one fucking year out there, I had hella fans and shit. So I was like, I don't really know where I'm gonna go, but I was trying to go somewhere else. I was thinking about going back down south and fucking around in some of the bigger cities down south, like Atlanta and shit. Because I never thought about that at all. I was just like, fuck all this bullshit. I'm trying to go to California. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I went all the way out there before I started thinking, like, damn, there's a bunch of other cities I could have hit up and seen if I could make friends out there, you know? So I left. I was headed back towards down south. I linked up with a fan. Shout out to Gary Henry, man. Big fucking supporter. Fucking been down for life. Always will be. Shout out to Gary Henry in Michigan.
Shout out,
linked up with him in Michigan. I was staying at his crib, and I was looking for a studio to record at, and me and Clay had a mutual friend, and he was like, yo, I know a studio you can record at. My homie DJ Clay. And I was like, this is it right here. This is what
Clay
been
is sick.
Doing all this crap shit for, bro. I've been trying to fucking make friends with somebody, and I bet it's going to be it, man. I bet it's going to be it. Because I was a juggalo my whole fucking basically teen years, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I wasn't like repping it as hard once I became focused on my own career, you know what I'm saying? Because, of course, I want to represent my own company and shit and not be a fan, but I fucking... I was like, this is it. This is definitely it. If I'm going to make friends with anybody, it'd definitely be DJ Clay, you know? And it just fucking worked out perfect, man.
Yeah. He believes in you, bro. All he does is, like, tell how good you are. And fucking, I've been watching your videos. This shit is dope, bro. You should get you're dope. You're like,
I appreciate it coming from you, dog, because you're a real fucking hip-hop staple for real, bro. Straight out of the fucking East Coast, dog.
Thank you. But like, yo, keep doing it. Don't let anyone tell you nothing else. Keep going forward, bro. That's all you have to do, man. Keep going. It's like if people aren't opening doors, kick the fucking door down. That's how you sort of do it, bro.
And that's exactly what I do, dog. Like you said, I was doing it when nobody was telling me that shit. And now that I got DJ Clay and Danny Diablo telling me, bro, ain't shit about even a little bit, bro.
So Jason, you got a couple different singles out, man. One of the ones that we heard was one called Different Things. Tell me a little bit about that track.
Shit, I just fucking, that was one of them ones where I basically just heard the beat. I just felt like writing, so I started shopping for beats, and I found the beat, and I just fucking, the words just came to me and shit. And I just, as far as my content, I guess, I just try to keep it a buck on every single song, really. Like, it just comes out when it needs to come out, and I just see so much whack-ass, weak-ass bullshit going on in the game, and, like, all these people that claim these positions that they ain't in, and I just feel like I'm in a position to speak on it all the time and call it out, because I'm really doing this shit for real, all of it. I'm really living this art life, you know what I'm saying? State to state in my van with it, fucking slapping my stickers everywhere, fucking paint shit up, fucking getting my music out there, doing all that shit, and there's a whole lot of people, because of the internet, that... they're on a different thing than me, man. A lot of people think that they're doing this shit. They ain't, bro. I'm the one and only true one, bro. And every fucking time I come on a track, I almost bring that kind of energy.
Good. That's right, supposed man. To, man. Keep doing that, bro. Keep doing that shit.
Yo, speaking of energy, you actually have a song called Energy, right?
Yeah, exactly. Hell yeah.
Tell us about that track, too, man.
Shit, yeah. That one right there, bro. The beat was real, like, crazy as fuck. Had this weird-ass piano, and I just, like... I don't know, I just heard this shit in my head, like, energy, and I just fucking started writing that shit like crazy. I was just talking about, like, that's how I felt at the time, too. Like, lately, especially, it's something that always goes on, you know, it'll happen forever, I'm sure. But lately, I've just realized how important energy is, you know, the 43rd code of 43, the code is protect your energy. That's the last one. And lately, I've just been learning and trying to get better and more strategic about cutting people off, keeping people on, and doing the things I'm going to do that I need to do to attract the new people towards me. And it's all about my energy. It all starts with me. That's what I realized. All the shitty people that was in my life that wasn't supporting me, that was my fucking fault. You know what I'm saying? So I just... had to level up my energy, man, keep it pure.
Yeah, that's a good attitude to have, man.
Live and learn. Live and learn.
Yeah, that's a super good attitude to have. So, Jason, another question quick, too. When you're writing, do you write ahead of time, or do you wait for the beat to come and then let kind of write to the beat, or do you like to write ahead of time, or what's your style for something like that? How do you approach a song?
I do all kind of different shit, really. I got all kind of different methods, but it basically just all... came together based off of what I had access to. Like, before I was with DJ Clay, I was just buying beats from whatever fucking YouTube producer or Instagram producer that I could afford. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then before that, I was just stealing everybody's fucking beats, you know? I was just fucking grabbing them bitches and fucking rapping on them and putting them out anyways and still selling them and making money. Fuck it. This is hip-hop. We do what we want. You know? So, but nowadays, now that I'm with Clay and I really have that real fucking studio team fucking vibe going on, I'll oftentimes just, because all day long I got bars hitting my head, and no matter what I'm doing, I write them down and I finish them later. So now it's more or less like, I'll hit the studio, it'll be studio time, and I'll be like, yo, Clay, I got this really awesome idea, I've only got two or three bars, this is how it goes. And then he'll build the beat, and then I'll write the song while he's making the beat, and I'll have two verses and a hook done before he's even done with the fucking half the fucking setup for the beat.
Jason, what's your top five MCs?
Oh, there you go.
Top five MCs. I can tell you the ones I grew up listening to the most. Yeah. Definitely fucking, I listen to a lot of Tupac. I listen to a whole bunch of 50 Cent. I listen to a lot of ICP. I listen to a bunch of Eminem. I listen to a shitload of Bone Thugs and Harmony. I don't know how many that is, but that's definitely...
Five right there. Bone Thugs and Harmony, like when I was younger, they should get more respect. Yeah, they were so dope. Eazy-E put them out, you know, the Ruthless Records. It's fucking like, yo, Bone Thugs and Harmony was so dope, bro. Okay?
Bro, it's crazy how they got on, too. All they did was fucking get in their car and drive to L.A. and rent a hotel room and blow Eazy-E's phone up until the motherfucker answered, and then they rap for him on the phone and he signed their ass, bro. That's like crazy. That's crazy, bro. That don't never happen.
That's just crazy, bro.
That's like the old school stories that you hear about that like just can never be replicated nowadays. You know what I mean?
Man, yeah. And a lot of people, they don't, with the internet, they're spoiled, and it's kind of like they're spoiled, but they're also kind of cursed because they don't realize that the internet is a fucking tool. You still have to fucking get in your car, bro, and go state to state and let people feel you and fucking shake your head.
Right. When you meet someone, it has to be personal.
You want. You can have as many views you want on the internet. If you ain't really out here in the streets, bro, you ain't really doing this shit.
Well, and if you've watched, anybody who's watched the show has always heard me and Ezak say that since episode number one, that no matter what, nothing is going to replace going out and touring, live shows, mixing it up with the people, and
talking to people,
getting to know people, exposing yourself to like other scenes, other cultures, getting to know like the next town, you know, like just dude, I don't give a shit how many followers, whatever you got, if you're not hitting the streets, like you said, man, it doesn't matter, it doesn't translate.
Yeah. Pay the dues, yeah, go in there, shoulder to shoulder, go right in there,
play some shows and shit. So, Jason, before we let you go, man, where can everybody find you online? Give us a plug on your Instagram and music-wise and all that shit, what you got coming out, everything like that.
So, if you want to follow me on social media, my handle is the same on all platforms. It's at PPL Hate Jason, People Hate Jason. I got a YouTube channel called Sin God TV. I'm about to launch a brand-new vlog series where we'll drop a brand-new episode every week.
You have to have me and Ezak on your show.
Fuck yeah, dog. You fucking pull up out there, bro. It's called Living with Sin. I have a bunch of episodes, but I'm going to make them even more better. I was basically just learning how to vlog as how I kind of see it. You know what I'm saying? With my old shit, so I took it all down. And I'm about to fucking come back hard as fuck with all this new fucking shit that I learned and apply the fuck out of it.
Dope, man.
I got a brand new music video coming out for that single you're talking about, Different Things. The Energy music video is out now. The Process 3, Clay told you guys about it on the last episode. Yep. It's my most recent tape I got out. We remixed all the fucking dope Billboard hits from 2019, and I'm trying to get as many downloads on that motherfucker as I can because I just found out that they'll send you a plaque in the mail if you get enough downloads. So that'd be cool as fuck. So everybody watch. Go download that motherfucker, man. It's free. It takes 2 seconds, and I'm totally trying to fucking get that gold award, man. I need 100,000 downloads. I'm gonna keep asking motherfuckers till I get that motherfucking award, bro. Watch.
Fuck, man. Well, listen, I hope we can help you get that, man, because you deserve it, dude. So, Jason, thanks again for coming on, man. Everybody, check Jason out online. Check out his stuff. And go back, if you didn't listen to the DJ Clay episode, go back and check that out so you can kind of see where it's coming together and bringing everybody together. So, Jason, thank you so much for joining us.
Jason, no, bro. Thank you so much, brother. Thank you so much for coming out.
For sure. armed robbery, DMS, and militia. It's the connection.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jason. We'll talk to you soon, man. Peace.
Peace out.
Yo, E, so you got some new kicks, right? Let me see.
Yo, listen, Storm got me a present, and look. Oh,
dude, it's so sick.
Big brother, look. The Ewings.
Yo.
So, listen, I want to say something to make you laugh. I'm going to show you these things. So, one of my favorite MCs is Big Pun. Big Puerto Rican. Love him. But look at these joints.
Dude, those are sick.
Big Pun. Look. Yeah, baby. Yo, look.
They're awesome. I was just telling you before how much I enjoyed my black and purple Patrick Ewings in sixth or seventh grade, man. I begged for them, and I loved them so much. I got to get another pair of them, you know?
Yo, listen, you know, I'll make you laugh right now. You know that every hardcore kid in the world, like New York, where Ewings was, I rock Ewings.
Yep.
I rock Ewings. So basically, I hit up the guys from, you know, Ewing Athletics on
Instagram.
I'm like, what's up? Blah, blah. So picture. They're like, oh, yeah, cool. And I was like, yo, what's up? You know, like, they're all hip hop kids, but basically they don't know that I influenced so many motherfucking kids all over the world, Europe, and all these kids, they wear Ewings because of me.
That's
not because
cool.
of some fucking hip hop dudes.
So did they give you free shit or no?
No, the niggas like give me shit. I'm like,
hold on, you know what?
They're saying they look, I'm not trying to hate, but
I'm gonna say
God something.
Listen, I'm gonna say this. Ewing Athletics, if you're listening or anybody that listens,
they don't know.
I'm saying though, research who you are. It's totally worth the
couple
pairs.
They were like, yeah, whatever. I was like, just in hip hop culture, graffiti, and fucking street culture, you know, it's like, this should be a Danny Diablo Ewing with my devil logo.
Well,
how dope would that be?
I'm saying, why don't they, you know?
I don't know, but I hope they have love for the guys.
That's what I'm saying. All right.
What's up, Ewing? Hit me up. You got my Instagram.
There's
got
to be somebody we know that can get us to Ewing Athletics. So
right.
Let me see
just
what I might even
do. Shout out to Patrick Ewing, because I love Patrick Ewing. I'm a big Knicks fan in the world. So, you know what I mean? So everyone knows that Patrick Ewing, I love doing. And there's my favorite basketball player ever is Dominique Wilkins. You know, everyone loves Jordan, this, but Dominique Wilkins, Bird, Jordan, and Dominique Wilkins are three illest. You know,
that's dope.
Anything. So I don't want to hear anything from all this guy that is from my generation. You know?
All right, and we're back with our second guest tonight, and I'm really excited for this one. So everybody, please give it up for the one and only Armand, who you know from Sick of It All.
Yeah. What's up, guys?
Dude, Armand, how have you been? Thanks for joining us tonight. We're really excited to have you,
Pretty
man.
Pretty good. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for the invite.
Are you
anytime.
Have you been are you on in New York staying home during the quarantine?
Yeah, we're just hanging in there. It's been boring, but at least I've, you know, got a chance to exercise and be disciplined with what I eat and all that. The road takes all of that away, you know? So it's kind of tough. Sometimes I get home from tour and I'm like, you know, 20 pounds heavier.
and you guys had a lot of stuff planned.
We were supposed to go on a road tour.
Right. You guys were supposed to go on tour. Talk a little bit about that, Ian.
Seriously, it's like a messed up aspect of what this whole COVID thing did. It took the tour that Danny and I had planned together and, you know, shit canned it or at least postponed it for a year. That's what they're saying.
Which sucks because I got to catch you guys at Bowery Electric with you guys in AF at that show, and it was fucking awesome, man. And I was like, man, that tour is gonna be so sick. And I feel like we jinxed it for saying we were looking forward to it so much. You know?
No, you didn't. We didn't jinx it. It's the New York hardcore curse. It happens all the time. any band that belongs to New York hardcore has someone in anything, one strain. It happens to H2O, happens to fucking quicksand, happens to everyone. Happened to me like three times.
It's a very consistent
Barker, I got signed by Rancid, and it was like, Mayday, Mayday, Mayday.
It's a very consistent theme on our show to talk about that that curse. We've actually we've actually pointed it out a couple times. Danny has mapped it out specifically.
Everyone, they try to escape it, but it always comes back.
But the one cool thing that did come out of this before we jump into a bunch of other stuff is that Sick of It All did get to do a new video, which was a really cool concept. You guys involved the fans for this new video for Bulls Anthem. Which was really it was really cool. Tell us a little
bit
about
that. I got to give it up to the guy Jerry Farley that engineered our last record. It was his idea. You know, he just like proposed it because he was going to be involved in making that video even when it was going to be a regular video. And he was coming up. He was helping us out with it. You know, because he's been like a real help throughout this whole last few years of the band. Like engineering our records and like producing our record, the last one that we did. And it's good to have a guy like that because he's not a member of the band, so it kind of takes the personal aspect away from whatever his ideas are.
Right.
So nobody in the band thinks like, oh, this is like his idea, so I'm going to be against it just based on that. You know what I mean? he's a perpetual middleman, which is great for a band that's been around for 33 years. Yeah. It's great to have a guy that we can all look to, and he kind of takes everybody's opinions in and then flips it and makes it proposed to everybody in a new light, and everybody's on board instantly.
Sometimes it gets crazy with a band, especially when guys have history for so long, because it'll be like two different sections, people team up, and you're like, fuck, you really? It's always gonna have an outside guy to talk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally. And he smoothed out so many different things like throughout the whole creation of the last record. And now to get him on board with a new video, he was like, why don't we do this? And I don't think we're the first band to do it. I know that Bad Cop, did a similar thing just a couple of weeks before we released ours. So, there was that, but at least, we got a lot of people to participate. I think
it was
pretty worldwide, like I think everybody submitted shit from wherever they lived and, whatever time zone they were in, and they were able to submit it, and like, we were able to include, like, I think it was like 200 different people or something like that.
I gotta say, it was one of the most organized from a person who's worked on a technical end of stuff. It was super organized, and I actually used that example for a project I was working for. Saw another artist, and I said, "Well, listen, look at how Sick of It All has it, where they're taking their submission." So I thought that it was presented really well, man. The video is super cool.
It's out.
Go ahead, Armin.
Yeah, and that's why I figured I would get this backdrop, to do the video, to do this interview in, because it's all set up for the video. You see all the little colored lights and the Sick of It All banner and everything. It's like I got this whole basement like all decked out now, so
that's
make it my interview background.
/ beer garden.
Yeah, well, I got my little drink right here. My little friend keep me company.
So
besides
crazy,
you guys, what's that?
So crazy because when I was younger, I never used to see you even drink. But now you're like, I see you like they're drinking beers out there.
You know what's crazy is the fact that I didn't really even discover how much I love beer until I moved to Wisconsin, and that was when I was. I didn't discover how much I love beer until I moved to Wisconsin, which was like I was already like 35, 36 years old. So I was a late bloomer, and at that point I was just like, holy shit, there's this like amazing world of beer out there. I mean, because the only beer that I ever really had was like the good beer in Europe and the crap beer in the States. And that was Midwest was like key, like, they had their finger on the whole like European beer scene. Like even before, the whole American craft movement had already started, but it hadn't exploded like it has now.
It's Milwaukee has a lot of German blood in there. So anyway, German blood.
Yeah, no, totally.
Since like Milwaukee, Minnesota, stuff like that. They have all the stuff. But my record company, Force 5 Records, I'm signed to, is from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So like I'm out there all the fucking time.
Nice. That's where I lived in Wauwatosa. It was like a little neighborhood surrounded by the city of Milwaukee. So I'm familiar with the city now.
Yeah, it's crazy. I go out there like at least 4 times a year.
The craft beer scene too is almost like the record collecting scene, because they like line up to collect like certain cans from different breweries and different releases. Yeah. And it's really crazy how similar
nuts.
It is, like to our culture, you know, in our scene.
It's a hobby, you know. It's like once you're like sucked into it, then next thing you know, it's like basically all the only thing you spend your money on.
Have you guys done a brew before? I know there's a Sick of It All hot sauce, but have you ever done a brew? Have there been a Sick of It All brew yet?
We haven't. There was one brand. I forget the name of the brand. It was a place out in France, in Limoges, in France, that did a beer for us. But they hadn't even like contacted us or anything like that. They just made a Sick of It All beer.
That's cool.
And made it they made it like available at our show that we played in Limoges, just a one-off, you know.
Yeah.
So, but it was a tasty beer, very good amber. You know, and I still have a couple of bottles of it. They're
cool.
Like all numbered.
That's cool.
Yeah, the ones that they gave us were all numbered and everything. So I got, that's the only beer that I've seen that like had the name Sick of It All attached to it. We're in talks with one brewery right now about doing a Sick of It All beer.
That'll come together.
Yeah, it's just kind of tough because of this whole COVID thing. You know, like we can't just get together as easily as we want, and I'd like to be involved in the whole process. I want to do it like soup to nuts, you know what I mean? I want to be there, like, you know, stirring the shit up and like, you know, just like actually work on the beer myself with a guy telling me what to do, because I've never made a beer.
That's awesome.
No, why don't you bring Craig with you?
You know what Craig does? He every time, like, because there's a lot of really, really good beer upstate where Craig has his farm. And, you know, like, we go out up there pretty often, like, well, you know, back when pre-COVID. And we used to do, like, beer tours with Craig. He was our designated driver, you know, so we didn't have to worry about how much we were drinking. We were throwing back, and it was no problem. Because he's born again straight edge, so there's no issue there. Yeah, he has been for 2003, I think.
Whoa,
was the last
awesome.
Time he was intoxicated in any way.
That's awesome.
Sure. Yeah. So he's been doing it for a while.
A straight edge, Zach. I don't.
Yo,
think
listen, hold on. We got, you know what we got to talk about, Armand, right?
Pizza.
Pizza, bro.
I love.
See, hey, yo, check out my shirt. I'm repping Brooklyn tonight. I got the Totonos shirt on.
Oh, see,
Totonos, Coney Island.
Oh.
Well, you know, I don't have any Queens pizza T-shirts. All I have is Brooklyn, and I got Connecticut. You're from Connecticut, right?
Yep. I was gonna say I was gonna ask you what your opinion was. I'm just right outside New Haven too, man.
Yo,
so there's
my boy Grizz has my boy Grizz. Remember Grizz?
Yeah.
He has a 2 pizzerias in Connecticut.
Yeah, I mean, my spot's in Connecticut. Armand, next time when COVID kicks, I want to bring Sick of It All back to New Haven. We have this great venue called the State House that Sick of It All needs to play, and it's actually right down the street. From Modern Pizza and Pepe's and Sally's.
Oh, wow.
So I want to bring Sick of It All there. And then that way you, me, and Craig can kind of just walk around the block and stuff our faces there. But do you have a Connecticut
I've
place
been
you
to
like?
All three.
Oh, which do you,
yeah, I've been to all three. I didn't have the greatest time at Modern. See, the good thing for me is the fact that I'm up in Westchester County. So
there's a Pepe's.
Frank Pepe
yep.
location in Yonkers.
Yep.
You know, it's not far from where I live. So I can.
How is that one?
And to be. actually, it's like, it's one of my favorites. Like, yeah. The only other one that I would say comes close, because New Haven to me, it wasn't that, it was always a little bit too burned.
I agree.
A little bit too much of that char.
People, when I tell people I don't really go to Pepe's, they look at me like I'm crazy, because I prefer Zupardi's in West Haven.
Oh, Zupardi's is great. Dude, that's yeah, great. I love Zupardi's.
And then my favorite.
You're right. I got a t-shirt from them.
Yeah, Zupardi's. But I got to say, Armand, my favorite, though, is a place in Milford, Connecticut, which is my home, which is where I live now.
Wait. Little Rendezvous.
I haven't been.
No.
Franco's. Franco's Pizza, though. I got to take you. I had mentioned to Craig. I mean, that's the guy closes down for a month to go to Italy and shit. Like, true old school.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, man, there's some great pizza here.
Listen, all I had to say is Danny's Pizzeria and Kew Gardens, bro. Craig and fucking Jay the bus driver can talk all that Amaury shit. And Amaury's is good.
It is good.
I
want to
have
it.
Yo, Rose's Pizzeria.
I gotta try this place, man.
Carlo's Pizza. Oh, in Queens, back in the day, it used to be Carlo's Pizza. Jamaica, right there over the J train. Carlo's. It was so amazing. But now, Rose's Pizzeria, 69.
Rose's is great, man.
It was great.
I love Rose's Sicilian is on point.
Danny's Pizzeria is the dope. It's my boy Sabri owns it. Shout out to Coopy, the Albanians. Go to
Dan's
Pizza.
Yo, so Armand, let me stay on this pizza thing for a second, only because you have toured literally everywhere. What's the worst example of a pizza you've had or presented to you? I mean, there's got to be something where you're just like...
Yeah. I would say it was in the Philippines one time. But it was not even on tour. It was when I was there on vacation, and I got this one pizza that was served up. I mean, I took... Yeah, I must have the picture of it saved somewhere. It was just like you couldn't even like almost recognize it as a pizza. It was that stupid looking, you know? Like, yeah. So they got it wrong in a lot of ways, and they also I think they serve up a side of ketchup that you could dip the pizza in. So Filipino pizza is a little way to go before it's like, you know. I mean, there was one place that was okay on my whole experience there, but it was owned by a Swiss guy.
Okay.
That Switzerland borders with Italy, so it's like, you kind of get why.
That's the worst border in the world. Motherfuckers strip search me every single time.
Oh, no way.
All
get
the
fuck out of here.
They always say the same thing. We're just doing this, by chance.
Oh, yeah, it was random. Yeah,
I got a red flag out there for some reason. They get me, bro.
Right.
Hey, Armand, I want to ask you. I want to ask you about this record.
Oh.
Oh wow! Look at that. That's the one that we sold
at the 2017
just for that one show, right?
Yeah, man.
Yep.
I'm getting that tattooed on me.
Come on, tell me some memories about that record, man.
I want that guy on tattooed on me.
What do you think about that record when you see it?
That record's a little moment in time where everything kind of worked for Rest in Peace. It's like every recording that we did before it and the recording that we did after it, nothing came together like that record. That record was the one moment where Rest in Peace sounded like a band, sounded like we should, and everything was like powerful, and it was cohesive, and we gelled. You know what I mean?
Who's the musicians?
That was before Craig joined. So it was Josh Barker on bass, right. Al Brand on drums, and Rob Echevarria on guitar. So it was just like that record reminds me of the fact that, like, as much as I love Craig, and you know, we brought him into the band. I, thinking back, I really regret that. That's like the one thing of my whole like musical career that I really regret is like kicking Josh out of Rest in Pieces, because he was like a founding member of the band, and then I come in and I'm like trying to like you know, change the whole thing, and I just fucked it all up.
Listen, this is crazy because as getting older, that took a lot to say. That's very, yeah, very cool to say.
I've recognized it for a long time because people have asked me, like, what's your biggest regret, you know? And it's always that. It's always, like, the fact that I kicked this guy out of his own band.
So basically, your biggest regret ever is bringing Craig into your life and playing music.
Well, Craig, <yeah.
laughs> oh,
A little part of it. Otherwise, I could take Craig all day, you know? Craig was even actually, he played a couple of shows, two shows, yeah, with Rest in Pieces as a rhythm guitarist.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He played CBs. He played CBs, and he played the Pyramid Club with Rest in Pieces as a rhythm guitarist. When we played CBs with him on guitar, there was, yeah, like, it was about halfway through the show, and he realized that he had never switched the standby switch off. So he was just, like, standing up there playing with no sound.
No sound? I see you guys play with a Sundance, I think, Long Island.
Oh, yeah. That was where the pictures from Under My Skin were taken.
I went with Alvarez and Mike Scorsese, I think.
Oh, okay.
That's nice. Crazy.
That's cool.
Yeah, that record is so cool, and it's special to so many people that I know when you guys decided to do the reunion show at the Black and Blue Bowl in 2017, man, everybody was so psyched. Like, what was that like for you, Armand, especially because most people are used to seeing you play drums and, you know, yeah, and that whole role. And it was, I got to say, man, for me as, like, a fan, it was cool, and you actually looked like you were having a really good time, which made it, like, a lot of fun.
I did have a really good time. I do wish that the rehearsal that we had right before that, I didn't, like, go get into it so much and kind of blow my voice out, because I didn't go up there with 100% of my voice, and that's always been an issue for me. Like, even doing backup vocals, I always, like, bellow and I blow my voice out. I don't know how to control my voice in the right way, so I never learned that, and so it was that, and I wish we could have had like one or two warm-up shows to understand, just to kind of get the feel of it again, because it had been like a ridiculous amount of time since I had been a front man, Danny, it was the first time him playing with us. Yeah. So, but I think he did a great job.
It was phenomenal. So cool. And it was so fun to watch, man. And like I said, I got there, really excited, got the record. Like, I was excited, man. So it was cool to watch.
That's
sure.
Awesome. I just, like I said, I just wish we could have had like one or two warm up shows beforehand.
Do you want to do another record?
Another Pieces record? Shit, I don't.
Maybe a single.
listen. You don't have to. Remember, you do it with the real bass player. Get rid of Craig.
I can't. I burned that bridge. And that's one of the reasons I feel so bad, is because I literally burned that bridge so bad. He was like a close friend of mine.
Damn.
You know? And it is.
Oh,
it's a real thing, man. And he, like, even like 10 years after that, you know, like, I would see mutual friends and they would come up to me and say, like, oh, by the way, Josh told me to tell you that you're a dick. You know,
damn,
so, I mean, so it was like a real thing. And, no, and
listen,
I'm sure he's still.
His last stuff, it was cool he said that, and you said you realized that you were basically wrong for doing that. But I'm saying, there's a lot of shit in my life, too, that I did. I think about, like, I should have never done that. I feel bad. And it's way worse than that. but there's a few things that I one day really like it's just crazy that the scene we have, all the weird people and all that, and the friendships, and sometimes we don't realize that we can do something, it'll fuck someone up so bad, and to us, we're like, yeah, whatever, but it'll fuck them up and push them back. You mean? I'm like, sorry. I was just thinking about my career. I didn't give a fuck about anything else. I was like, I got
and they'll never forgive you.
No.
That's how it is. Yeah. I mean, especially when I was the guy joining his band. You know?
wait till you see the fucking podcast.
Armand, did you ever think that you guys were going to do a reunion show, especially because, I mean, you're so busy with Sick of It All and everything you do. Was that like something you ever had been like, ah, you know, I'll do it? Or was it more come together because of Black and Blue? Or like, how did that idea really come together?
We had some people asking us for a while, you know, and I think Black and Blue was like the main reason, you know, because they were the guys that were most serious about it. You know, they actually had their show every year for so long. It's like a you know, it was like an established thing. And for us to do one of those shows, we knew it was going to be way better than some, like,
together. Sure. It fit perfectly, bullshit. Man. It was one of those things, like, again, just going back to that 2017 lineup and seeing your guys' name announced at that was one of those, like, you grab your phone and you're like, holy fuck, like, what the fuck, you know? And then again, like, you get in and you see the record and you're like, you know, you check and your friend's like, no, it's sold out already, you know, kind of thing. Like, so it was just, it was really cool, the excitement, man. So it was cool that you guys did that.
It's dope. Cool, thank you, man.
Yeah, you gotta do another record, bro.
Or at least a single, you know, invite Josh back in to do a single. Have Craig on the B side, have them each play the same song. On
I don't even side. Know. I wouldn't know how to get in touch with Josh. I don't know. And I actually ran into Al Brand, the old drummer, a few years back at a Home Depot by my house. Right. And he was so different. He was like, you ever run into somebody that you knew from the early hardcore days and it's like they don't even know what hardcore was.
Yep.
Listen. You know what? They don't seem crazy about stuff like that.
It's a phase between like a techno parties and keggers for them, kind of shit.
You know what bothers me the most? When you bump into people and they pretend they have nothing to do with hardcore. One time I was walking, right?
Oh, no.
So I saw a guy, he's going to Crown Thorn shows. Like, the guy's me, all my lyrics, everything. So he's dressed in a suit, and his girl, he's like, oh, what's up? I go, oh, shit. I said, what's up? He goes, he's sitting down with his girl, and went in a restaurant, wherever I'm next to him. He goes, oh, he's a big fan of yours. He goes, his girlfriend, I used to be a big fan of this guy's music back then. And he goes, turns to me, are you still doing music? He tells me like that. Are you still doing, like,
I hate that shit.
I said, no. I'm a fucking podiatrist now. Yeah. I'm right there. The fuck you think I am? Fucking asshole. You know what I mean? Like, fuck you.
No,
man.
That's great. Yeah, I know. And that's, you know, it's funny because, you know, Sick of It All's been together 34 years now.
Yeah, which is so impressive.
Yep. And even back in like the late 90s, we had people asking us, you guys still playing? You know, it's like, holy shit. It's like,
it's condescending because it's like, yo, this is my life. You think I wanted my life to be this? Well, you think I wanted to do hard fucking do? You think I want to be in a fucking band?
Well, and you know what, too, kind of like,
you know what I mean? It's what I fucking do. Okay?
It almost, too, like, it devalues, like, what we do, because in a lot of ways, it's like, yo, man, not a lot of fucking people can go play. I mean, like I said, I've said this a bunch of times, we toured with Sick of It All in Europe, and those were the fucking biggest shows we've ever played. And it's like, dude, to maintain a legacy like that for 33 years and just doing shit where it's still relevant, it's like, yo, that's harder to do than a fucking job. You know what I mean? Like, honestly.
They've been on top of everything longer than fucking, like, Nation's been ruling people, you know what I mean? Like, sooner or later, you'll be like, just see, wall crumbles down, Sicker Wall's still there.
That's true. I mean, I hate to actually hear the math. When people do the math and they figure out, the first time I saw you was this year, and they tell me how long ago it was. I'm like, I don't even want to hear that. It's just like,
how about now.
I don't want to hear that.
How about Armand? How about this? When before I even went, before the only time before I met you, Armand, and the only a few places I've been in my whole life. There's two places. I went to Rhode Island with my mother and father. My father drove Rhode Island.
I love that story.
1976 to see the first synagogue. My mom's going to see it, the Portuguese synagogue on Rhode Island. I remember cornfields. Now, the second place I only been to out in Queens was Puerto Rico, right?
Okay.
Besides that, you took me across the United States. Out of Queens.
Yeah, I want to.
You're the reason why I left Queens.
So listen, let's talk about that. What are some of your first memories of that?
Oh, stop.
That tour and
that tour was it actually started off crazy because the very first show we got there so late that Biohazard had already played and it was a snowstorm that was coming down like crazy between New York and New Hampshire. New Hampshire was the first show and we drove up there and it was typical Sick of It All. Like the whole tour, we were late. Like, Biohazard was so upset with us all the time because we were never there on time. We always showed up like we hardly ever sound checked, you know? And it was just like one of those things where we were doing our own thing and they were like trying to be like a real band. Right. And we didn't quite meet their expectations, you know, like being professional. But that was early on. Like, so, but anyway, so we get there and it was like 2 hours after Biohazard finished playing, but there was still like a ton of people that stayed there waiting for us.
That's awesome.
And, so we got there, we threw our shit up on stage and we played a great show and that was the way it started. And then, you know, the whole rest of the tour was just, it was a shit ton of fun because, like I said, you know, we were just doing our thing, taking our time, always taking the scenic route. We were like, you know, never looking to be super punctual, never looking to be super responsible. We were just doing, like having a fun tour.
What album were you guys on for that?
So much fun in that van. You know, listen, first of all, in the van, listen to music, Chanel, Connor, and Oscar. But then we would go off on each other, like Toby, which is like, it would be the funniest thing in the world. Like, everyone had little seats and we were just talking shit to each other. It was great, bro.
Yeah, it was like a lot of entertainment on that tour. Having Toby and Isaac on that tour was like just pure entertainment. They were just like constantly fuck with each other and it was just the classic. It was just great.
What album were you guys on for that, Armand?
Oh, that was Just Look Around.
Awesome.
So yeah, early 93. Just Look Around came out like maybe, I don't know, 4 months before that or something like that. Or not even.
Yeah.
It was like very soon after. Yeah.
I want to say thank you so much, Armand. I had to be like, it was before you guys. Listen, I wasn't even doing music. Think about it. I was like,
yeah, I know. That was like before you were in the band. Same with Toby.
Yeah,
same with Toby. You guys started like right around the same time.
Yeah,
and it's funny too because you had just said something before about how you know you. Guys would be late and stuff, but now you, for people who don't know, you manage Sick of It All and do a lot of the stuff, right?
Yeah.
Behind the scenes stuff. So it's kind of funny that you know, go from one to the other to be the most responsible person, you know, in that situation.
Oh yeah. I know. I don't know what it was. It was just like, cause I was doing a lot of the driving on that tour. I didn't do all of it, but I was doing a lot of it as I normally do. And I don't know, there were times where I looked at the map and I thought about what we could see versus what the most direct route would be.
The map!
Like
Atlas.
Yeah, we had a map.
Atlas, right?
Maps. yeah. We had a roll out.
Did I drive?
But like, you drove, twice on that whole tour. And we were just like, yo, I was like, I can't rest. Yo, let me take over again.
I can't picture that. I can't picture Isaac driving.
That did happen. It happened like twice, I think. Jerry was the guy that actually took over. Jerry, this guy from
Jerry got
New Jersey.
Jerry got punched in the face in Arizona.
Yeah. And he hit that guy with the beer pitcher. Remember that? I remember he threw it across the room, and it was totally quiet. Like, the whole brawl had stopped for a moment. And this guy was, like, talking shit to him, and Jerry just took a beer pitcher and threw it. It was complete silence, and we just heard, like, it's like this fucking incredible sound. The pitcher hitting the guy's head is great. That was like the Jerry moment. That was like awesome on that tour.
That's so crazy, bro.
That's awesome.
But I mean, but in reality, it was like the hardcore scene at that point was so nuts. It was so crazy and so violent that like.
It was so crazy, but
having Isaac and Minus with Biohazard was almost like having our own like private security force, you know. Because he's
the funny thing was, I was so young, all I care about was like seeing where fucking with Craig, man, these guys making jokes. They would put me and Craig against each other all the time, so. But the thing was, like, I love these guys. I mean, like, the people, we'd be, like, some redneck place, and a guy would be, like, talking shit to Lou. I remember one time, I was like, you remember the hillbilly? I took him outside, let's go.
Which night? I mean, that like, sounds like every single night.
Oh, man.
Literally every single night.
Sorry, my man.
I love that.
It's all right. Hey, there were no arrests. No one got sent to the hospital. You know?
Imagine now with all the cell phones and shit, huh?
Cell phone, it'll be right in the house.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
There's a few like bad ones.
Seriously. I mean, that Phoenix show. You know, like there were shows that we played in Phoenix probably like 5 years after that, where we had to make sure that security walked us in and security walked us out, because all of those same people were still making threats against the show.
So
it was still like a problem. It was a problem for a while, but then I guess at a certain point it all mellowed out. I guess they got too old to fuck with hardcore. Those guys are still doing that music, you know.
Hey, Armand. So I have a question for you. So obviously, like, you know, us as listeners have our favorite song, Sick of It All songs to listen to. Is there one as a drummer that you like to play? Like, that's just to you. Doesn't necessarily have to be like a fan favorite per se, but in a drummer's perspective, man. Like, this one's related to my boy Hoof. Shout out Hoof, who's a fan of your drumming. So I wanted to ask that question, just see if there was one you really enjoyed playing.
Old school stuff, I would say Injustice System. You know, just because it has like that double bass. It was like the fake double bass beat that I came up with by myself. You know, I just like I just like invented a double bass beat, and it was off of the floor tom, and it worked. And I was just like, "Holy shit, this sounds good!" And like ever since then, I've enjoyed playing that song. Not first for some reason. I have brain farts if I do it first. but then out of the new stuff, I really like playing that song Inner Vision, which is like it's like really kind of old school, kind of Discharge / Exploited style song. Craig wrote.
Do you prefer to play fast, blast beat type stuff, like that kind of stuff, or?
It's more comfortable because you don't have to worry so much about the groove, and you don't have to worry so much about the pocket. You just let shit like fly out of you with abandon, and that's the way Sick of It All, I think, sounds best, is when we're just doing shit like, and it's just 100%, like, you know, full throttle. As opposed to like being controlled and like, you know, really concentrating on the groove or the anything like that, you know.
Yep.
So, you know, as far as that goes, I would say, and you know, the other guys in the band always play so ahead of the beat that it's like for us to play slow stuff live, it's kind of sometimes it sounds kind of weird because those guys, they're always rushing it so much.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. I mean, it happens anyway, but even in the studio, you know, like they just have, they have a tendency to be so, you know, urgent with their delivery that it's just, it's just that way. So as a band, I think we sound better playing like blistering speed.
Right. You know what? Every time I saw the Ramones play, it would be like so much fucking faster. I'd be like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
yeah.
But I want to ask you a question. Your top three drummers.
Oof.
I mean, and you know what, too? I had promised Armand I wasn't going to put him on the spot with any top list, so I got to apologize to you for that.
Oh, no, that's all right. That's all right. No, that's fine. As far as I'm going to look at it, not so much from drumming perspective, but from just who influenced me the most. I'm going to say Rat Scabies from The Damned, and let me see. Clive Burr from Iron Maiden.
All right,
And then Mackie Jason. Mackie Jason. Yeah, because I mean, he was the guy that taught everybody that came out of New York hardcore. Yeah. What drumming was all about. He was the guy that like everybody looked to because he was untouchable.
Yeah, that's a dope, man. No, Phil Collins. I love Phil Collins, bro.
Man. Every time I think Phil Collins playing the drums, I think of that Mike Tyson scene in The Hangover.
Yeah. So, you know, sticking with the drum thing, Armand, too, just because you guys have recorded so many records and you've worked with a ton of different producers and studios. And I mean, man, you guys have done everything. Is there a record that sticks out in your mind of one that you had either a really good time recording?
You do one overseas?
Which one?
Can you do one overseas?
We did Based on a True Story. We did that one in Denmark.
That's cool. See, I know the shit.
But you know what though, it wasn't like the right time of the year to really be there and enjoy it, because it was like, I think it was November that we were there, it was cold, but the problem was we had like literally 2 or 3 hours of sunlight every day.
It's
so far north on the globe, and it was already almost, you know, the dead of winter that. You know, it was like nighttime all the time. So kind of like the atmosphere wasn't the best.
If you were a black metal band, it'd be great.
Yeah, exactly.
I always, I'd asked Craig. Craig had been on an episode back. And the record that always sticks out to me, just because I think the timing of it and the producer, you guys worked with Garth, who did Rage Against the Machines record.
Yeah. And I was going to say, as far as like having a fun time making a record, I was going to say Built to Last, because not only did we have a great time and actually learn to enjoy California, we actually learned how to enjoy LA, because before that record, I didn't like LA. And then leaving that place, I was just like, I like this place, you know. So it grew on me. It took like a month, but it grew on me, and I really liked it. Plus, I met my wife out there. So
awesome.
During that recording, I actually met my wife there. So you know, that is definitely my most fond memory as far as like putting an album together goes.
That's cool. Yeah, I love the production on that record too. That record. Also, I think just for me, has a special place. I worked at Strawberries, which was a retail music chain when the record came out, and I remember doing that.
Strawberries.
Yeah, I did. I remember requesting from East West posters, and I still have my poster. It was like this big Live Shot poster that cut into three things, and it was just so dope. And it was just cool.
Hold on. Look, Armand and I worked at Relativity Records together also.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
I worked in the warehouse.
Yeah. what do you remember about yeah. What do you remember about Armand back in those days? What do you guys remember about each other?
Okay.
Armand always was, when I first met him, he was a very, like almost a standoffish. late, but all my, like, always assessed what's going on. And when he spoke, he when I started speaking to him, he would always make me laugh. Me and Hoyer used to go all the shows and parties. We go to parties, and they would be hanging out, and we'd be like, yo, what's up? Really, tough, young troublemakers. And then, like, they knew Dave, Hoyer's brother Dave. So they used to hang out, but like BJ Pappas' birthday parties. I remember, like, we used to get all crazy.
Oh, yeah. those are some good parties, yeah. BJ had great parties, yeah. Those are incredible.
Oh, it's crazy stuff.
No, but like as far as when I first met Ezak through Anthony. Anthony was working in the warehouse, and he was the guy that actually introduced us. And like, because you know, I was working in the office. The record label. I was like an office guy, you know.
And I worked with Anthony and Petey Hines.
Petey Hines was there.
And Smegma was worked there too. Mike Smegma.
Oh no! Wait, really?
Yeah, he worked in there too. And Vic from Reagan Youth too.
Oh shit!
That's all these guys worked. Crazy. It was crazy.
I have a feeling like that maybe they came in after, because I mean Vic, I grew up kind of with Vic in a way. He took me to my first hardcore show.
For real?
Yeah. And I don't remember him there, remember, so there must have been some like weird.
I remember he's from by St. John's University, right? From over there, right?
Vic was from around Main Street, like just a few blocks away from the train station and everything. Yeah. So, but that's where he was from. And but like his band was called Damage Case before he was with Nausea and all that. And I worked a show that they played with Urban Waste. It was my first hardcore show, right?
Oh, that's cool. Sure.
And this is back when I still had long hair and I was like just a metal kid. And I had never been. I had heard hardcore. I was into hardcore, but I had never been to a show just out of like, I guess it was fear. You know, when I think back and I think like, you know, it was like. Because I don't really, my brother had been to a few shows at that point, but I had never been. And like, but my brother was telling me, oh, you shouldn't be afraid. Just go. And for whatever reason, I didn't go. And so I ended up teching for Vic's band and just taking his equipment into this place. It was some kind of disco on Queens Boulevard, right? And yeah. The most fucked up place to have a show, because like literally you had this mixed crowd of like
people that were
on Queens Boulevard, and it was like this mixed crowd of like actual Guidos and hardcore people. And the once the pit started and everybody was like, you know, dancing and moving around, all the Guidos were like, you know, trying to like strike these like kung fu poses, like karate poses and shit, like getting ready for a fight, you know. And it was just like, what kind of combination of people is this? It was the most wrong place for me to have my first hardcore show.
A lot of that happened in Queens.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, and the cool thing is that they played with Urban Waste. So I got to see Urban Waste at like a really early show. It was 82. Oh, seeing shit. Urban Waste. Yeah.
Yo, that's so, really cool.
But yeah, that was my first show. And it wasn't until 83 that I went to my first CB's matinee to see Negative Approach.
Oh, shit, all right. That's cool.
Yeah.
Dude, that's fucking awesome, man. Well, so Armand, I think we've kept you for long enough, man. I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's been, I've had a great time, so I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you for coming down. Man, thank you for being on this, brother.
Thank you so much, Armand. So, Armand, before we let you go, where can everybody find you? Tell us a little bit about, obviously, the new Sick of It All video is on YouTube. I'll plug it here. You'll see it. Armand, where can everybody catch up with you and Sick of It All and kind of tell us what you guys have coming out? I know there's some new merch. There's some new Sick of It All merch came out.
Social media, it's just Armand of It All on Instagram. That's how people can reach me, and I've been... I've been very available, you know, like almost too available. There's some people that like punish me with like, there's sometimes like I look at my phone, there's like 20 photos that somebody sent me. I'm like,
you're telling me, bro, it's fucking crazy, right? They talk nuts. To you like they know you, like,
yeah.
I think someone I know is like, they ask me questions. I'm like, what the fuck?
You're like, what is this?
Yep. Yeah, so social media is a strange animal, but it is what it is. But I mean, I'm sure at some point in my life, all of those little relationships are gonna like pay dividends.
Yes.
You know, like
yes.
It's gonna be,
they will.
You know,
for sure.
That's what I'm hoping. So Armand of it all on Instagram is how people can reach me.
Awesome, thank man.
You.
Well,
thank you so much, Armand. I love you, brother.
Yeah,
thank you, Armand.
Love you too, E.
Thank you, everybody, for joining in for another episode of the Corona Chronicles. Shout out
thank
to everybody
you guys.
Who's been signing up for the email list and YouTube, keep subscribing. Once again, thank you to Armand. Thank you to Jason, the Sin God, for joining us. Guys,
Shout out to Lou,
Pete. Craig, Pete.
Craig.
All the guys. Check out Ticket of All's music. Check out the latest Ticket of All record. Watch the videos, guys. And check us out, DiablosDenPodcast.com. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you all soon.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Just snapping like Shaitan, I had to throw my shades on. Gotta watch these guys, they wire like Spectrum. But me and my team quick to form like Voltron. By carajo, tenido aparato. Ahora te ando buscando pa' mi fucking chavo. Call up Danny Diablo, the shit don't ever stop though. The niggas around my way, they call me fucking Chapo. I'm more like a Gestapo, watch out for behindo. Got my homies down south, trapping in the bando. We got the best drogas out the mercado. Spear out the fucking kitchen when I start cocinando.
My name is Jeff Dusto, de loco el gato. Put you in the fucking chokehold. Rip off your bag and sell on your coco. My name is Scam Dusto, de Lopo and Coco. Cut the phone line to the jack called Bubba. Stab you in the ass, put you in the fucking chokehold. Rip off your bag and sell on your coco.
Capitalistic, ill to the bone. Psycho savage, the album's got the chrome. Travel the seven seas, bitch dead on your knees. Straight man tech, y'all, a sick disease. Word to God, I move like Massad. Violate your crew, I deal the death card. Hellfire, don't pass the wire. American me, I'm born to expire. Game of Thrones, reeking to the bone. Search the seas, Viking steeds. Branch checks, show some respect. Danny Diablo, drugs but sex.
My name is Scam Dusto, de Lopo and Coco. Cut the phone line to the jack or bubba. Stab you in the ass, put you in the fucking chokehold.
Garcia cigars, eyes in my rear view, watching all these cars, in and out of traffic, taking Jamaica exit right off the Van Wyck. One wrong move, she could get definitely sick. 3 days on the table, caught a chippy, for really, G's get spent. Are you really for real? Flipping that dope and coke, doing my shows on that float, sicking that dope to your ears. We've been here, I just tell my niggas just sit right here. Shouts to my boy George Bear, he been laying up for years. She mad, shit, tears. Blowing that opium in his atmosphere. Nigga.
My name is Scam Dusto, de Lopo and Coco. Cut the phone line to the jack or bubba. Stab you in the ass, put you in the fucking chokehold. Rip off your bag and sell on your coco. My name is Scam Dusto, de Lopo and Coco. Cut the phone line to the jack or bubba. Stab you in the ass, put you in the fucking chokehold. Get to get it, yeah.
Hey everyone, this is Tuck from Fit for a King in Off-Road Minivan. Every week I bring you fun interviews alongside your favorite metalcore entertainers with my new podcast, Get Tucked. Join me every Monday with bands like Counterparts, Crystal Lake, like Moths to Flames, and many more. We play unsigned and undiscovered bands, deep dive into each artist's history, and of course provide the greatest breakdowns in current metalcore. Tune in to Get Tucked every Monday, out now through Sound Talent Media.